Let me pray real quick, and we'll dive into this topic. Father, we thank you for this day. We want to thank you for each person here. Joel mentioned earlier, just our brothers and sisters taking their time out, Lord, all of us here on a Saturday morning when we can maybe get a little extra sleep or do something fun or whatever. Everybody's here because, Lord, we want to see your kingdom advance. We want to see people find life in you. Lord, and we know we live in a world where so many people are searching. And they're looking for something better, something more, something deeper. And we thank you, Jesus, that we've discovered that in you, and we want to let in others on that story. So lead us now in this time as we talk a little about our own personal lives, how we can go deeper with you, grow deeper as leaders, and help those who are leading to grow as well. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So appreciated what everything that's been shared this morning. What Jay shared was tremendous about the woman at the well and that sense of excitement and anticipation and that God is up to something and he's doing something. So one of the things that we believe strongly here and have from the beginning, and I can say that because I've been involved with New Life since 1986, is this whole idea that when it comes to leadership development, which is a big phrase we use around here, in spiritual growth in general, we have strongly emphasized over the years that character is critical. It's important. And we talk a lot about, you know, ministry skills and doctrine and these things all being important, but character is emphasized so much. And even as you look at the qualifications for a pastor in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus, the thrust is really about what kind of people we are. And there's certainly an emphasis, too, on, you know, we want sound doctrine and teaching, and we want to be skilled in leading, what Joel just covered. But this emphasis on character is really important. And in fact, it's a concept that drew me to this church when I was 18. I was kind of on this trajectory. I came here to U of M with every intention and plan of finishing up here and then going on to get my Master's of Divinity somewhere at some seminary and then becoming a pastor somewhere. That was my plan. When I got plugged in with this church, it was really interesting because there was at that time, such a de-emphasis on, you know, going to seminary. And of course we do, even with all of our staff, we're required to go through a certain level of training in terms of seminary classes, and we do those on site here. So we value that. That's important to us. But back then it was almost undervalued to a fault. It was kind of like, you know, now you don't need any of that stuff. Don't waste your time with that. You know, we just need to focus on you and you growing in your faith and in your relationships with one another and in your character. And that really appealed to me as a young 18-year-old, kind of my idealism. I'm like, yeah, that's, and of course it's in Scripture, you know, there was so much teaching on it. And like, yeah, that's, I'm in for that. And I dove all in for that. And I said, you know, forget seminary. I'm not going to do that. Sometimes I regret it, really I don't, because I thought, you know, I just want to surround myself with some people that I respect and that I look up to and who can help me develop as a person and as a believer, a follower of Christ. And so I really connected with that to the point that I said, I'm not going down that path that I had set for myself. I'm going to go down this different path. And I'll tell you what. You know, I was excited. I thought this is going to be challenging, but I really didn't know as an 18-year-old what I was getting myself into, right? Because it's hard. Character growth is hard. It's painful. It never ends, and you never arrive. And the Bible teaches that, right? Philippians 1:6, right? He's being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. It's an ongoing process and work that we're in. And it's hard sometimes. And as you go through different phases and seasons of life, man, it's hard to grow spiritually. There's no easy path to it. And so let's look at the key scripture that is sort of foundational for us. You guys are probably all familiar with James 1, 2, verses 2 through 4. But this is really foundational for us as a church. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And this is foundational. There are other scriptures that teach to this, but this is kind of the foundational one. You know, trials being this process for us that God, the way in which God grows us. I remember years ago, one of my mentors, and actually a mentor to many of our, probably all of our pastors, Greg Veneta, he did our parenting conference a couple years ago. I remember we were having a conversation, and he told me, Craig, God's going to use two things. Again, I'm 18, 19 years old, to grow you in your life, and it's going to be two things primarily, responsibilities and trials. And so appreciated, and as I look back on my life and look forward, I see just the truth and the wisdom in what he shared with me at that time. Up at Spring Hill, great pastor who spoke to us this last weekend said this, and I jotted it down in my notes. He said that God does his best work in the wilderness moments of our lives. God does his best work in the wilderness moments of our lives, the valleys and the caves, not the mountaintops, which I so appreciated that he shared that with those kids. Right, because we go to conferences or retreat or we have that kind of experience, and it can be such a high and exciting time for young people. We've all been there probably at one time or another. But I so appreciated that God does his best work in the wilderness. And we saw that with Moses. He was referring to Moses' story and how God took him away to do some work with him. And we see that again and again throughout the scripture, how God is at work. God is present in the weakness, in the failure, in the dirt of our lives. I've been meditating lately on Genesis chapter 2, and I want to read this to you. It's been kind of a scripture that I've been just meditating on and coming back to. I don't have it up on the screen for you, but this is actually taken from the Message version. Love, Eugene Peterson. It's Genesis 2, 27, or Genesis 2, verse 7. God formed man out of dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. The man came alive, a living soul. God formed man out of dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. The man came alive, a living soul. I love that. I love that. We owe our very existence to God's grace. He breathed life into us out of dust, out of dirt, and we came alive. He sustains us. Every moment you and I take a breath should be a reminder of God's grace and his goodness toward us. He's the one who created us. He's the one who sustains us. And he's the one who's going to redeem us when the breath in this body fails us. But as I was meditating on this and thinking about that, I thought, you know, God not only created us out of dirt, but he continues to recreate us out of the dirt in our lives, out of the junk, out of the pain, out of the trials. That's what he does. God is in the business of forming us out of dirt, out of messiness. That's what he does. And I've just been sitting on that and thinking about it and meditating on it. So how does this work itself out in everyday life? Now, on the one hand, there's no specific formula on how this plays out, because each of us here live a different life. We each have different responsibilities, and we each deal with different trials, depending on who we are and what season of life we're at, and all the circumstances that each of us deal with is different. Now, on the other hand, we've like to use some tools, and this is where the equipping part comes in. We've used some tools over the years here at New Life to help us seize moments, right, where we can extract what God is wanting us to learn through those trials that we're facing. All right, so Romans 12 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So this whole idea of renewing our mind is really how we seize the trials in our lives to grow spiritually as God's children. And so then the question becomes, well, how do we do that, practically speaking? Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it, okay? We can pray. We can read scripture. One tool that we've used over the years here at New Life is the RSA tool. Now, I got to be honest with you. I still, you know, I haven't taken all the official classes for the RSA. That kind of came after I left New Life and went on other adventures and journeys. I have tried to mess around with it a little bit. Do any of you guys use that? I'm curious. How many of you use the RSA? Awesome. See, you guys are more equipped in that area than I am. You should be doing a teaching on that up here sometime. So I have to be honest with you. I was introduced in, I got it, but it seemed very complex to me a little bit, or there's a lot to it. And again, if that's what God's using and that serves you well, then go for it. God uses all kinds of tools and resources to help us grow. But a new tool that we want to introduce to you here is called the Character Spiral. Let's put that up on the screen. Isn't that pretty? Okay. Now, I can't take any credit for this. This is the creation of Mike Pape, who's been one of our pastors here for years. He just left for Florida. And I don't know if, did he work with Vinayda, I'm assuming, on some of this? Or 20 years of conversations and stuff that Vinayda has told all of us, and him and Mike talking. And the moment I saw this, what's that? It's an RSA process made more simple, and I'll tell you what, I got this immediately, and I connected with it. And maybe it's because I'm more right-brained. I love the visual. I love the colors. I love the I like the simplicity of this versus, you know, this, and this, and all these columns I got to fill out. It feels like a homework assignment. You know, this I can is very easy for me to memorize. And Mike and I were sitting around talking. He's like, Craig, you're going to love this thing that I've just created. It's called the Character Spiral. And I think we were having a cigar at the time. So interesting things can happen in those moments. And so he's telling me about this. And then I saw it. I was like, wow, this is so cool. Love it. So how does it work? Well, let me first say this, is that I'm still kind of learning how to use this. And, you know, it's a process. Back to our verse, James, can you take me back to James 1:2 and through 4? Somebody on slides? Okay. Consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And okay. Now back to the spiral. All right, so what you'll see is that scripture is sort of weaved into this spiral. I like it also because the spiral is action-oriented. So how does this thing work? So let me walk through it. So on the bottom there, you see what's a trigger experience, relationships, responsibilities, weaknesses, life, right? Life happens. It happens. And so we ask the question, what happened? This is why being in community, what we've been talking about here, is so critical, right? Because so many people are dealing with things, going through difficulties, and they're dealing with it on their own. It's hard enough as it is just to be dealing with stuff, but to be dealing with it on your own, that's why people kill themselves. That's why we believe in community, a place where people can come and bear one another's burdens. That's what the scripture teaches us to do. We all need that. You never get to a place where you don't need that. I tell you what, me and my wife, we've been in this Christian thing for our whole lives, and we still need it desperately. Need people who we can cry with and share our prayer needs with. We all need this, and so life happens, trials come, and sometimes, you know, harder, you know, sometimes really tough ones, sometimes mediocre, you know, can't really measure them, but so we process that in the context of community, right? And so we ask ourselves, what happened? And we got to just recognize the trials in our lives and talk about those with the people whom we're doing life together with. What do I feel? This is the next step. When we go through something difficult, right, we feel things. Now, I'm a feeler on the Myers-Briggs test. I'm a strong feeler. And so I feel things very deeply, and it's important for me to process those feelings with others in a healthy way or with God and not allow my feelings to get the best of me. But so what do I feel? I'm feeling sadness. I'm feeling anger. I'm feeling betrayal. You know, it could be a variety of things. And then we look to the Holy Spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our comforter. And we also, in this process, seek to yield our feelings to the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control. I don't think I got those in order, but you got the idea. Then we move up the spiral. This is kind of the process that we're going through here. You just pick a trial in your life, process it within the community, maybe in your D group. Talk about what you went through. And what are you believing? This is the crux of the issue right here. This is the fork in the road. What are you going to believe? How are you going to interpret what's happened to you? This is why you can run across people who have basically grown up through the same set of circumstances, have been through some similar trials, and one person, the trajectory of their life has been very successful and strong and powerful, and their impact has been great, and another person from the same environment, same experience, has tanked. A lot of it has to do with this belief issue, how they interpret what happened, and what they're going to believe about God, about themselves, and about the other people around them. This is critical. So it's a test of faith, right? As it says in James, what am I going to believe? And being honest about that. Again, the honesty is key. It's foundational for us. We be honest about what we're believing and thinking about. What am I believing about what just happened? About maybe, you know, if that trial came through a person, what am I believing about that person? What am I believing about myself? What am I believing about God? Those are really the key questions there as we ask ourselves, what are we believing? And then we look to God's word, to the scripture, to sort of check ourselves and see whether or not our beliefs in these key areas line up with what he says. And then this is the test of faith, isn't it? Are we going to believe what God says, or are we going to believe our own ideas? That's really the fork in the road for each of us. And then what am I going to do? Am I going to just give up? That's what a lot of people do. You know, this Christian life thing is too hard for me. I just can't do it. Or are we going to persevere and grow through it? Are we going to grow through it? Engaging in some spiritual disciplines, prayer, the word, those are the basics, really. And what do we become? As we go through that process, we become more like Christ as we abide in him. And that's a work that he does, not a work that we just sort of manufacture. This is not something we manufacture. We just place ourselves. All right, so let me give you a really quick example, and I'll wrap up on this, on what this might look like in just everyday life. So, the other day, this was a couple weeks ago, I was asking one of my kids something as I was getting ready to drive them to school. And I asked one of them if they had their lunch with them. I'm not going to name names. they said, yeah, I got it with me. Because one of our concerns is make sure our kids are eating nutritiously. We have some health issues in our home and whatnot. And I'm like, all right, can I see your bag? And let me just double check. Oh, it's not in here. Now, I can't tell you how, as a parent, how painful that is. When your kid just lies to your face like that. And it's not the first time it's happened. So that's a trial for me. And that comes, and I step back from it later that morning. I'm like, okay, Lord, this is a trial. And it touches on some deeper stuff because, again, it's been a recurring thing. It's happened more than once, and it's happened with more than one. What am I feeling? Man, I feel hurt. I feel betrayed. Don't these kids appreciate, you know, what I do for them, the sacrifices I've made for them? You know, how can you betray my trust like that? These are real raw feelings that I feel in that moment. I feel angry. Okay? all right, Lord, what am I going to believe here? Am I going to believe that, you know, am I going to get my sense of value and feeling good about myself based upon how my kids treat me or based upon how you treat me? Where am I seeking my value from? Where am I seeking love from? Right? And God's word says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love, Craig. Remain in my love. You stay right there. And then I was praying through this and thinking through this. And again, this doesn't need to be an hour-long process. It's going to be 5 or 10 minutes. I'm thinking, okay, what does Scripture teach? And this is why, by the way, it's critical to memorize Scripture. Dallas Willard says it's the most critical spiritual discipline. Now, I'm sure that could be debated and argued, but I think it's interesting that such a well-respected guy, as smart as he is, and as devoted to the faith as he was, says that. So find some scriptures, particularly as they relate to your belief about God, yourself, and other people. Maybe just start with one in each of those areas, and if you need help, ask one of us. We can help you. This, by the way, is what you want to use with the people in your groups, this kind of thing. This is how we grow. We can talk Bible study all day long, talk about, you know, what we're learning, and that's cool. But this is where the rubber meets the road, right here, in this kind of thing. And so what am I believing? Okay, God, you know what? And a verse came to mind as I was praying through this and thinking about it, is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I was thinking about Jesus, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm feeling sorry for myself here. Jesus, you know what betrayal feels like. You endured a betrayal far greater than I'll ever endure. And so, Lord, just help me to love my kid the way that you love them. Help me to love them. And you know, what does Scripture teach me? It teaches me to forgive. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Ephesians 4:32. Forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. See, now I can pull those verses up in the moment because I've memorized them years ago. So this is why Scripture memory is critical with this. What am I going to do? Okay, Lord, I'm going to pray for my kid. And today, I'm going to intentionally, actively love them in a tangible way. I'm going to do something. I thought of something right at the moment. I'm going to serve them unexpectedly. You know, so I did something for them, did like one of their chores for them or something like that. I do that stuff. You know, and then what do I become? Well, that's in God's hands, right? We don't manufacture our growth, but as we go through this process, we place ourselves in a position where God can transform our lives. But there's the part we do, which is the renewing the mind, walking through something like this, and then there's a part that he does. You know, so we place ourselves in the situation where the growth can happen, and through, you know, practicing spiritual disciplines, prayer, the word. My wife was saying, we were talking about this because she's been using this as well, and she's saying, you know, I really haven't gotten to the spiritual disciplines part of this. You know, I've been working on the first three questions. And I said, well, this really is a spiritual discipline. If you're walking through this process, then you're doing a spiritual discipline because you're meditating on the word and you are you're probably praying as well. So this is the character spiral. It'll be in the slides that come out to you. Real simple tool to use, even maybe, you know, just for 10 minutes, real quick. What happened? What am I feeling? What do I believe? What do I do? And Lord, help me to become what you created me to be. Encourage you to use this tool in your life. Maybe use it in a quiet time once a week or however you see. But I just got to say, for me personally, this has been way more helpful to me than RSA. And I'm not dissing the RSA if you love that thing. But I connected with this and I got it immediately. And I actually use it. And I use it regularly. A tool for you guys. Hopefully this will help serve you in your personal life and also help you serve the people you're leading. Okay, let me close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for that you're in the business of getting into the dirt in our lives and through that, helping us become the people you create us to be. We're so grateful for that. We submit our lives to you, ask you to continue to change us, and work in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.